In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You're listening to the one and the only Sanctified and French Fried Podcast. The podcast that will tell you that you better get right before you get left. From the sports of the manly arts of competition to Christ's Word, Sacrament of the Altar, Baptism, and beyond, we invite you to boldly go where no one probably ought to go. You're listening to Cross-Eyed Christian Radio with the Right Reverend Gavin Mize.
All right. Welcome, folks. You're listening to Cross-Eyed Christian Radio. And just so you know, in our first segment, I need to make it clear that it was recorded as a quote-unquote inspirational, quote-unquote devotional, quote-unquote words out of my mouth talk that I had with the students of University Christian High School in Hickory, North Carolina. And if I didn't tell you that and just played the thing, you would have no idea what was going on. So this is the preface. And listen up.
You don't know who I am. I am what you would call a provocateur. And a provocateur is someone who embarrasses for education's sake. So, with that being said, I need a volunteer. Again. And I need a name. And a real one. One of you. Okay. Do you like Mason?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. All right. Any young lady? I saw you move. This is the time to wear an inconspicuous mask, by the way. Do you like Mason?
Yeah. It's pretty nice.
It's pretty nice?
I said he's pretty nice.
Oh, he's pretty nice. Okay. All right. Who's next? Someone, I need someone. Thank you. And this is going to make it way more awkward. Now, do you like Mason?
What does like mean? What are you insinuating here?
I'm not insinuating anything. I'm not insinuating anything.
Yes, I like Mason.
Okay, thank you. By the way, who's Mason? Hey, Mason, come on up here.
I don't know what I just put myself into.
No, you know. But I did give fair warning in the beginning. You like Mason?
I would think so.
But do you? I mean, do you really?
Yes.
Okay. Go have a seat. Is there anyone here who does not like Mason? Okay, please.
I didn't actually think I'd get anybody. This is awesome.
You know why I don't like Mason?
Nah, I'm asking the questions.
Oh, okay.
You like Mason.
I love Mason. That's why I don't like him, because I love him.
Six feet apart. Here's the reason that I asked that question. Is because the way that we are asked questions and the way that we perceive people is always under different lenses. And the reason I say that is because when I was in college, that the question was asked to us if we liked Sam. And the way that the question was presented depended on how we answered. Do you like Sam? Do you like Sam? Do you not like Sam? Is Sam a boy? Is Sam a girl? There was not enough information. And yet, and the reason I bring that up is because in this time that we're living in, it is more important than ever to give each other the benefit of the doubt and to not come together or come before with preconceived notions. All right. Mason, I'm sure you are a lovely human being. But everywhere we are being told and taught that we must make assumptions. The media, I don't care which channel you're on, it does not matter, will tell you their opinion and you will adopt it as your own. Don't do that. Do not do that. And this school, in particular, is one where you are diligently taught critical thinking, logic, if I'm not mistaken, and you are not indoctrinated. The lessons that you're going to learn here at this school, you will always take with you. That's why it's so important that you're at this school. Now, I have one piece of advice, and I did not get to mark my Bible, so let me ask it this way. How many of you would define yourself? Everyone should be raising their hands. Everyone defines themselves. How would you define yourself? If someone feels comfortable defining themselves, come forward. Okay, if someone doesn't feel comfortable coming forward, come forward anyway. How do you define yourself? I'm a pastor. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a human being. Is that all? I mean, it's certainly enough, trust me. It's certainly plenty. But what else do you describe? Whatever else you subscribe to defines who you are. This is much less funny than I usually do it, but it's been weighing on my mind heavily Do not allow acronyms to rule your life. Acronyms are constantly growing. And I don't care what acronym it is. Do not be defined by acronyms. Right now, in the midst of cultural injustice, we find Black Lives Matter coming out. Now, here's why I brought up the "Do you like Mason?" part. As a white male who brings up Black Lives Matter, are there preconceived notions about how I feel about that? What if it was a black female? What if it was, I mean, what if the question itself, does Black Lives Matter, is asked to you? To what extent do you agree or disagree? We can't allow these acronyms to define our lives because we are not short, simple answers. We are not short, simple answers. I'm not going to give you my opinion because I don't have to. My question is, did you assume my motive or my thought on it? If so, understand that we do that to each other every single day. We assign motives to each other every single day. And if we would not assign motives to each other, if we would just love our fellow neighbor, then we would be a much, much happier society. One of the interesting things about the flood in Noah is that when God put the bow in the sky, how many in here read Hebrew? So I can just make it up. All right, and you won't know the difference. do you speak Hebrew? Do you read Hebrew? You sound like Charlie Brown's teacher.
What's that? You can read it.
Oh, you can read it. Yeah. Well, kashar is the Hebrew word for bow, and it's the exact word that was used in war. However, anytime you walk outside, notice where the bow is set in the clouds. The bow is not aimed down towards us. The bow is rested, hanging in the clouds, reminding us that the world will not be destroyed by water again. I believe that Christ can change the struggles that we're going through. 2020 has been horrible. Not only for racial justice, but for health justice, for murder hornets. I didn't even know they existed. What is a murder hornet? What's the most recent thing? Wildfires. Apparently, internet. But here's the thing: you're going through your formative years during this. And so what I want you to take away from what I'm talking about here is do not let yourselves be defined by a group. Define yourselves according to Christ and according to the education that you receive. There is no perfect acronym. There just isn't, because we're sinners. Trust in the Lord. Treat each other with kindness. Love as Christ loves. And you know what? You are the people that are going to change this. My age group is the people who are just arguing about it. It's up to you guys. And you know what? I, for one, I have faith in you. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
After that super inspirational speech by one heck of a handsome man, we now move on to galvanizing two classic songs. Not one, but two. And in the middle, there is a sponsor. And that's where I make all of the sense. Like, they pour in hundreds at a time. Pennies. So, make sure to listen to the sponsor and the galvanized version of two classic songs. Also, ironically, two people who sold out. So, they deserve galvanizing. See you on the other side of the break.
Your word is mine. I don't tell you right. I just show your face in broad daylight. I'm telling you on how I feel. It gonna hurt your mind. I don't shoot to kill. I wouldn't say the sky's the limit. And to me, it's really true. But my friend, you ever seen nothing. I just wait till I get through because I'm bad. I'm bad. That's how really.
Good King Wenceslaus looked out on the feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about deep and crisp and even. Brightly shone the moon at night, though the frost was cruel. When a poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel. Hither, page, and stand by me, if thou knowest telling. Yonder peasant, who is he? Where and what his dwelling? Sire, he lives a good league hence, underneath the mountain, right against the forest fence, by St. Agnes' fountain. Bring me mead and bring me wine, bring me pine logs hither.
thou and I will see him dine when we bear him hither. Page and monarch, forth they went together, though the rude wind's wild lament and the bitter weather. Sire, the night is darker now, and the wind blows stronger. Fails my heart, I know not how, I can go no longer. Mark my footsteps, my good page, tread thou in them boldly. Thou shalt find the winter's rage freeze thy blood less coldly. In his master steps he trod, where in snow lay dented. Heat was in the very sod which the saint had printed. Therefore, Christian men, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, ye who now will bless the poor shall yourselves find blessing. That is a Christmas hymn, long lost, but it's a Christmas hymn that is Christological, and I'm going to show you how. I'm going to show you why, and we're going to do it in this Southern Fried Lutheranism segment of Liver Mush Theology, Politics, Love Letters, and the Work of the Lord by Jimmy Huskins. And I believe we're going to find out where he is in this one. All right, so as you know, we're in chapter 4. He gives a little clip, then he goes into the newsletters. The clip is the explanation. Is very important, connecting back to King Wenceslaus. So here's the explanation, and then the title of chapter 4 is Follow the Leader. My wife claims that my sap gets up in the spring. That's one I've never heard of, but, you know, to each their own. I think she means a little powerful urge to spend some time outdoors overtakes me each year in late winter. This is a lifelong pattern. Our first spring in the new town was late, cold, and hectic. By this time, I had learned that my predecessor was an administrative machine who had personally attended to every detail of church life. My lack of administrative ability is legendary, but I had been upfront on this point throughout the interview process. To further complicate matters, soon after we arrived, the church's part-time secretary took extended medical leave. By the end of March, I was facing intense pressure from a small but vocal segment of the congregation. Every pastor's been there. They insisted that I keep the machinery old in fashion similar to the former pastor. I'm going to repronounce that for you Yankees. They insisted that I keep the machinery oiled in a fashion similar of that of the former pastor. Since I was not capable of doing so under the best of circumstances, and since putting so much of my time and energy into administration rather than pastoral areas caused me frustration, I needed to spend a day in the woods. We've all been there. This piece ran in the April newsletter. I had been too busy to write one for March. So there is the background. Here is the newsletter. It's called Follow the Leader. I'm a sucker for spring. It came officially on March 20th this year, and I noticed on the 26th that the pasture on the hillside behind our house sort of hinted of green. Daffodils poked bravely through the leaves and between the shrubs in the front yard. Signs of season? I think so. If so, it's the coldest spring I can imagine. The mercury hit 19 Sunday night and 25 the next day, barely made it into the mid-30s. But I awoke that morning, Monday morning, with an urge for a long walk in the woods. After lunch, Lydia, Silas, which is a sweet name, Miriam and I bundled up, loaded some water and snacks in a small backpack, dug out our collection of walking sticks, which are high-tech broomsticks, he says, and drove north to the Shade Mountain Trail. During that short drive, the sky changed from mostly sunny to a putty gray. The icy wind whistled, kamikaze snowflakes flew sideways. A great day for a hike. If you say so, pal. This was our first time on Shade Mountain Trail, and we loved it. Recent rain and some snow melt had swollen the freshets. And the condition on the path ranged from sloppy to submerged. That's one of the times a kid's life is best. An airtight excuse for wading puddles. I took lead at first. That seemed natural since I often walked alone. I suppose I also thought that by leading I would reassure the children that we faced no real danger. The lead spot became a problem, though, because I didn't like turning around and checking on the gang. The obvious solution for me was to walk behind where I could see everything. And a few times in our new leaders had route question. They waited until the rear guard arrived. Being in the rear also allowed me to rest on the hills. I can't believe how out of shape I am, but I'm working on it. The excursion kept us warm, and we all did some zipper and hat adjusting to keep from overheating. After the details were settled, I began to see more. At a distance, these hills looked like the North Carolina hills, the best hills in the world. But up close, the woods have a different feel. I've yet to put my finger on it. It's partly color. I see dark browns and blacks from southern tree trunks in winter. We have some of that here, but it's mostly grays and silvers. I also noticed the soil type. We're accustomed to thin leaf mop atop red clay. Here, we walked through a lighter sandy soil. The mud isn't half Velcro. Okay. From the rear, I could see how the children handled the walk. Miriam and Silas are in good shape, and I knew that they would set a quick pace. But I was surprised at how well Lydia kept up. Some 6-year-olds lose interest in a brisk walk, but she never complained. My kid ran a 18-minute mile, and he's 3. Just saying. My son's better. even her frequent stop to examine potential additions to her rock and acorn collection didn't cause much delay. Some of our three older children were walk wimpy at 6. The youngest was not. The rear of a column in the new perspective for me was but a delight in the insights it provided. We found some places that would be tough going with loaded packs. Large dead trees lie across the trail. Deep runoff pools, which may be dry by early May. Steep shale banks without much footing. These were larger obstacles for me than for the children. I told them before we set out that we could walk that trail, and they didn't believe me. I wish I had that kind of trust in my leader. He keeps telling me that if I will merely believe and follow, we will march together to Zion, in spite of the obstacles. I admit that he's been right so far. But every time the trail gets steep or treacherous, I tend to whine. Gee, Lord, why do we have to go this way? Wouldn't it be easier on the other side of the valley? Are you sure you know the way? Do you? Why do we have to wade through this stuff? Won't this swamp ever end? Are we there yet? Hey, Jesus, that looks like quicksand. I love the beginning. Gee, Lord. Jesus, quick! That looks like quicksand. I'm in good company. The Israelites were good complainers. I'm jealous of them, though. God told them where they were headed and what he was going to give them when they got there. He told them that he singled them out to be his special possession, his favorite children. Said he'd never leave or forsake them. He said that he would protect them and fight their battles. Two people believed him, Joshua and Caleb. 2 out of 5 or 6 million. Some percentage, huh? Everyone else moaned about how good they had it in Egypt. God got tired of their complaining. He postponed their trip until everyone over 19 croaked, except Joshua and Caleb. Then God led his people into the promised land. He did what he planned. He merely substituted a more cooperative crew. Ouch. That's one way to look at it. Churches get focused on Egypt too. Every time a congregation dreams of some fine work of God, the ancient deceiver starts whispering in their ears about how great things were before they started all this foolishness. After we listen to the stuff a few times, we start to wonder if our leader knows what he's doing at all. Our church has chosen big dreams. Some of them move us out of our comfort zone, and it takes no prophet to predict the devil's response. Who are we going to trust? We have a new worship and outreach facility to build. We also have a portfolio of wonderful ministry to support. Our walk on Shade Mountain was not completely satisfying. We had a great adventure and saw beautiful places, but we found no good campsites. Time ran out, so we rested on a high spot and turned back. On the return trip, I was more free to experience the moment. My vantage from the rear of the column provided a much more rich perspective. I knew that I was still responsible for our little troop, but I also saw that I could get along fine with just a little guidance, that they could get along fine with just a little guidance from me. I'm no Moses, but I'm glad to know the same power that Moses knew. God led us to the work with his church and in this community. So, in a sense, this is the promised land. In some ways, our church is like the woods that surrounded me on that cold day in early spring. Our sap is rising, our buds are bursting with new life. But unlike tender trees on Shade Mountain, we can choose to keep each other warm and avoid the damage from late frosts. Let's trust our leader. He has never failed us. He has wonderful plans, and he knows the way. Oh, Jimmy Huskins, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I have a few thoughts on this topic. Where are we on time here? We're right at... Okay. So in case that didn't bore you out of your mind, me reading it, and I'm aware that you could have read it, but the reason that I wanted to bring that out in this particular episode of Southern Fried Lutheranism and Livermush Theology is because I have seen for myself, as a hunter, and as a conservationist, I have seen for myself pack animals, in particular wolves, but I haven't been able to study wolves in real life. But I have seen and studied, I say studied because it sounds much better than I looked at them. And one thing that I noticed after I saw something strange, I researched it, and pack animals will always have the leader at the very back. Typically. Most people think that the leader is at the front of the pack. Because it would seem that all trouble is ahead of us. Well, actually, the lame and the weak and the young are in the front. They set the pace. And then there are the she coyotes or she wolves. And then mixed in with them are a longer strand of male coyotes or wolves. And in the very back is the man himself, the alpha male. And so he walks at a pace slower than the most injured and the most young and the most fragile. And the reason is because since they set the pace, they will not be overtaxed. And he can see any attack coming from any side. And so he's patient with the young ones and the fragile ones. And also he's watching, well, the chicks in the middle. And flanking them, the other males, the beta males, who flank the she males, excuse me, the she wolves. Okay, the she wolves that further isolate and protect them in. I mean, it is a well-oiled locomotive. It's a beautiful thing to see. However, as far as Christianity goes, I love old Jimmy Huskin's example here, which is basically what I just gave you with wolves and coyotes and even just wild dogs. However, in Good King Wenceslaus, we see a different point of view. We see a point of view where the leader goes first. Because the page, the wind and the ice was turning his blood into sludge. So I'm going to kind of break it down again a little bit. Good King Wenceslaus looked out on the feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. And that's about where everybody just stops, right? That's what we know. And we know that, and then it goes, nah, nah, and then, you know, we quit. We move on to Silent Night or whatever. But there's so much richer theology here. Brightly shone the moon that night through though the frost was cruel, when a poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel. Okay, so Good King Wenceslaus is there with his page. They eye and find someone who is chopping down trees. That's winter fuel, in case you didn't pick that up. He wasn't at the gas station. This was deep in the forest. he was deep in the forest. Good King Wenceslaus was looking out and seeing the man from his castle. So he says, Good King Wenceslaus says, as he's watching this man labor in the midst of a horrible frost, he says to his page, "Hither, page, and stand by me. If thou knowest it telling, yonder peasant, who is he? Where and what his dwelling?" So right there, we're going to stop it. He calls to his page and he says, "Hey, come here. Who's that dude over there cutting down all the trees? And where does he live?" And so his page says, "Sire, he lives a good league hence, underneath the mountain, right against the forest fence by St. Agnes Fountain." All right, so what the page is saying here is, he lives a fur piece down the road. It's a good over yonder. And it's underneath the mountain, and apparently he's pretty desperate to come all the way out here to get winter fuel. And so the king says, "Well, I have an idea. Bring me mead and bring me wine. Bring me pine logs hither. Thou and I will see him dine when we bear him thither." All right, we'll stop there just for a moment. Mead is made, basically a drink liqueur made out of honey. Wine, you know what wine is. Pine logs, on the other hand, last longer because they are green. So the gift of pine logs actually is a gift for a continued harsh winter. Not just what he's collecting, but actual pine logs that are wet and wood dry, therefore allowing him to survive longer underneath the mountain with a supposed his family. So page and monarch forth they went together, though the rude winds wild lament and the bitter weather. So they left the castle. Page has the wood. The monarch's walking. They're walking with the page in front. And he says, "Sire, the night is darker now, and the wind blows stronger. Fails my heart that I know not how I can go on longer." In other words, I'm freezing to death. I am freezing to death. It's the night has come. The wind is blowing stronger. I'm not going to make it. I'm going to die. I can't go on anymore. So thanks for bringing me out here, to die. I may be adding some of that, but here's the part that really gets neat. "Mark my footprints, my good page. Tread thou in them boldly. Thou shalt find the winter's rage freeze thy blood less coldly." So what he says is, look at my feet path, my foot path, my feet's path, the path where my feet had trod. Look at them. If you follow in them, I will be your shield. If you follow in these footsteps, the winter cold will blast upon me, and you will find the winter chill you will find the freeze less freezy in your blood. Your blood will be less cold. So every time you see one of my footprints, you put your foot there, and you just keep doing that. Keep your eyes on the footprints. I'll take care of the rest. And here's where it gets magical. In his master's steps he trod, where the snow lay dented. He 'twas in the very sod which the saint had printed. Therefore, Christian men, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, ye who now will bless the poor shall yourselves find blessing. Now I'm going to back up just 1 second here, all right? In his master's steps he trod, where the snow lay dented. Heat was in the very sod which the saint had printed. That is, in my opinion, one of the coolest stanzas in hymnody, because not only is this page, this one who is called to be the servant of the monarch, not only is he freezing to death, but good King Wenceslaus says, don't worry about it, I've got it, I will take the punishment, I will take the cold, I will take the ice, my blood will freeze, you just focus on my footsteps. And wherever you see my footsteps dented in there, into the snow, put your feet there. And when he did, not only did he find that the wind no longer affected him, no longer did the ice affect him, no longer did the cold affect him. In fact, the very place where good King Wenceslaus stood and walked was heated. He was even comforted by the sod. He stepped all the way through the snow, melted the snow into the sod, and the page was found actually to be comfortable as they went to serve their neighbor. That is Jesus Christ. Picture this. In his master's steps he trod, where the snow lay dented, blood was in the very sod which the Savior had printed. Doesn't that change your perspective on good King Wenceslaus? Good King Wenceslaus is the type of Christ. In his master's steps he trod, where the snow lay dented, blood was in the very sod which the Savior had printed. Therefore, Christian men, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, ye who now will bless the poor shall yourself find blessing. You have the forgiveness of sins. You have walked the bloody steps of Jesus Christ. You have done so through your baptism. You have done so through your confession of faith. You have done so in the reception of the Lord's body and blood. You have done so through the hearing of the word. And not only have you been shielded from the arrows of the devil, the cold of the sin of this world, and the ultimate bitter suffering death that we are supposed to receive. Not only have we been delivered from those, we actually find comfort in the warmth of the Word of God made flesh. Find warmth in the blood where Christ's feet has trod. And where Christ's feet has trod, there you'll find the forgiveness of sins, because there you'll find Christ. And where Christ is, you shall be also. What a great hymn. What a great hymn. What a great piece of poetry. And old Jimmy, he gave his own view on it. I prefer mine. As a pastor, I suppose I would rather lead from the rear, but only to point to the footsteps of the Savior, so that everyone at Augustana and in the Christian world would follow in the steps. That's the pastor's job. Make sure that the wounded and the fragile or the fragile, the sick and the lame go first. Following the blood-stained steps of Jesus Christ. And then those who are healthy, men, women. And then those who are old, elderly, who need further protection. And then the pastor, who makes sure that each footstep steps into the blood-stained, dented snow. The Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. Pick up your cross. Follow him.
Cross-eyed Christian Radio at gmail.com. If you have a story to share, a comment to make, or even just something that happens in your life, all you have to do is to contact Pastor Mize at cross-eyed Christian Radio at gmail.com. That's cross-eyed Christian Radio at gmail.com.
Young, wish I could have took a picture of a man I seen sitting on the street. Might have been days, could have been weeks. The dust run up his neck and round his mouth. You could hear the golden sigh come out. Out from his box, stuck to his knee. Out from his boots with funk in his feet. Nothing makes me move like some funky country blues. Only way to wake me up these days. Maybe I'm lost, but there's nothing I can lose. They can never take my funky country blues. Feel a bit confused, but if the music played forever, you could throw away the rules. They'd never stop dancing to that funky country blues. Watching women wiggle when they step, the music makes them sweat. When they let their hair down, lose a clunky shoe, you know they've been infected with some funky country blues. Funky country blues. loving makes me move like some funky country blues. Only way to wake me up these days. Maybe I'm lost, but there's nothing I can lose. They can never take my funky country blues. That funky country blues.